In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and we have a guest today, Christelle Angeli. My brain froze. Christelle Angeli is a campus minister. Tell us about your campus ministry.
Sure. I'm a campus minister at Emerson College in Boston and at Framingham State University. So I've been in campus ministry for about 14 years, and I've been at Emerson for 14 years and also at MIT for 7 years, and I'm just starting at Framingham State. I started a couple of years ago.
Tell us one experience that happened as a result of your ministry there.
I think one of the highlights is the alternative spring break service trip that we do. When we go every year to different places, but one year in particular we went to Appalachia, and students work alongside with families in one of the poorest counties in the country. And just the transformation that happens with the students over that time. Sometimes they go back and they spend the summer, and it can really change their lives.
Campus minister, very important, especially a campus minister that loves Jesus. And that's Christelle. She loves Jesus. Tell us about the book that you wrote. What's the title?
Sure. So I wrote a story called Agnes's Gift, and it's a story about the power of the rosary. It's a little bit different in the sense that it's a fiction book, but it really goes into the mysteries. It's about a young woman, a young teenager, who just received confirmation but has kind of become agnostic and has a lot of challenges going on in her life. Her parents are in the midst of a divorce, and her brother is missing and dealing with addiction issues, and she just can't see where God could possibly be amidst the turmoil and chaos of her life. So in this story, Jenna, the main character, moves to a new home and befriends an elderly neighbor named Agnes. And Agnes is a woman who's just a strong woman of faith, who has a devotion to the rosary and a faith that just comes alive for Jenna. But then Agnes brings over a gift, a Christmas gift, to Jenna's house, and it sits under the tree unwrapped. And Agnes passes away, and so the story opens with Jenna sitting under the Christmas tree, kind of reminiscing about her relationship with Agnes and kind of wondering about the gift that's under the tree. And what happens then is that Jenna, as she's sitting under the tree, she receives a visit from her guardian angel. Her guardian angel just comes to her and offers to take her through all of the mysteries of the rosary. And so that's what happens within the story. So Jenna encounters the Lord, she encounters Jesus, the mysteries of the gospel, and she encounters them. So the reader kind of experiences that encounter and sees it through the eyes of Jenna. And that's pretty much the gist of the story.
Well, it gives me a new look at the rosary, because I need to have a new look. I pray, I cannot tell you I pray the rosary every day, but I pray a decade every day. I pray one decade every day. And last night I was thinking of the glorious mysteries, the mystery of the resurrection, the ascension, the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles and Mary in the upper room, the Assumption, and the crowning of Our Lady. So important. Like, I know there are people that used to be Catholic and they think that the rosary is just repeating prayers. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, it's I think anything but that. Actually, in fact, Father Tom, so much of when I used to be a part of this parish and was here for many years, very often, very frequently, every week, a lot of the things that you've said during those times have stuck with me. And one of them, I think, pertains to the rosary. It's something that you said, and I use it a lot in my work with students, and I use it a lot just in my own personal spiritual journey. And one of the things, you were actually talking about the Mass when you said this, but you were saying that the power of the Mass, that Jesus was man and God, so he... is both eternal and he entered time. And so because he's eternal, everything that he did has an eternal consequence. And so the Mass, even though it happened 2,000 years ago, because Jesus was a man and he lived 2,000 years ago, but the power of the cross and the resurrection, that all is accessible to us now. And you were talking to us about the Mass of that time, but it's come back to me a lot just in other prayer, because I think that's very true for the Rosary too. And I think sometimes people think the Rosary is just a repetition of prayers, which there are prayers that are repeated, but they're kind of strategic, I think. As we're meditating on the mysteries of the gospel, we're starting with the Lord's Prayer, which is the perfect prayer because it's the prayer the Lord taught us, and we're praying through the intercession of Mary. We're praying over and over again that prayer, but our mind and our hearts are entering into the mystery of the gospel. And like you'd said about the Mass, it's the power of the gospel is accessible to us now, and I think the Rosary is one of those ways that we can access that power, enter into those mysteries. And that's what it's been for me over the years, and sometimes I'm more consistent with it than other times, but I try, like you, to at least do something all the time. But there have been definitely periods in my life where the Rosary has been predominant, and I think that's why it just helps you to enter. It helps you to make present those mysteries that happened so long ago and to bring them into the here and now. I mean, we can go to Mass every day, but we can't, you know, go multiple times a day. But we can always sit on our porch or walk the beach or just do in the car driving. We can always access those mysteries. Are always accessible to us, and I think the Lord is just so generous in all the many ways that he's given us to be able to do that.
So I hear you saying that the Rosary is a living prayer.
Absolutely. And whatever we're going through, like whatever I was going through 10 years ago, whatever I'm going through now, it's the gospel is fresh because it's coming in, the power of the gospel, the power of the resurrection, the power of the incarnation, the power of Pentecost is coming into this moment. And I think so many people too, they have people they love that they want to pray for, and what better way than to call down the mysteries, the power of the mysteries of the gospel, to call them down upon the situations in our lives and the people that we love, and who better to do it, you know, than do it with Mary, because as we pray, she was the first Christian, and so she was the first person to contemplate these mysteries, and the mystery of the Incarnation and the mysteries of Jesus, and she lived with him and you know, just reflected and contemplated, as Scripture tells us. She held these things and pondered them in her heart, and who better to open those mysteries to us than Our Lady, our Mother.
So the Rosary isn't just a whole group of prayers. The Rosary is a meditation on the mysteries of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know people that have been converted with the Rosary. They've been changed. They've come to be born again. Call it what you want. Mm-hmm. A new creation. And it was through the Rosary, and they continue to pray the Rosary because it's very, very meaningful to them.
Absolutely. And I think it's so meaningful just because it's the gospel, and it's a way to bring the gospel down into our lives. And so many people, when we pray the Rosary, like on campuses, like with students, once in a while we meet every week, and you know, we do different things every week, but there's always at least one time per semester, one or two times, and on retreats that we'll just kind of pray the Rosary together, and it brings this unity to the group, and it brings like a tangible presence of the Lord. You can just feel like almost physiologically, like everybody just calms down and everybody's mind just centers on the Lord. There's just a lot of power, and it's something that, as you said, people pray it throughout their whole lives. It grows with us. It's not just something that, you know, we grasp once. It's like, you know, it's like scriptures. Like we it is the scriptures, so we enter into it and we reflect on it, and it comes alive at a given moment in our life, like differently than it would a few years before, depending on who we are, where we're at, what we're praying about, and what the Lord wants to do in our life at that time.
So again, the Rosary is a living prayer. It's not just a string of Hail Marys and Our Fathers.
Right.
It's a living prayer, bringing us into the presence of God as we meditate on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ will always change people as they meditate on the Annunciation, the Visitation, the birth of the Lord, the presentation and the finding of Jesus in the temple. Just going through those mysteries and meditating on those mysteries brings life, because the gospel is life.
Absolutely. And the mysteries, they're just like eternal. They're just impenetrable. I mean, you penetrate them, but you can never, like a mystery, you can never completely grasp it. It's just something that we just can go to over and over again. It's like, you know, you drink water and you feel satisfied, and then the next day you're thirsty again, so you go back to the well and you drink water again. I think the rosary is a lot like that too. It's just the continual sort of evergreen power of the gospel that just comes to us every time we pray, and the intercession of Our Lady, because we are, and through the Hail Marys, entrusting ourselves to her care as the Lord Jesus, as the Father entrusted the Lord Jesus to Mary's care. We're doing the same thing, and we're asking her, you know, we're the body of Christ, and that's a very real thing, and Mary's the mother of Jesus Christ, so she's our mother, and so when we entrust ourselves to her care, she taught, you know, Jesus how to walk, and she raised him, and she was with him his whole childhood, and would have taught him so many things about his culture and Judaism and so many things, and about prayer, and just when we entrust ourselves to her, we also, you know, we're imitating Jesus, because she taught him so many things as well.
Who would like Agnes's gift? Who would like reading it because it's interesting and alive?
So I think a couple of different groups. First, I think it's great for people who just feel like either the rosary is irrelevant to the gospel, or who feel like the gospel, the story of Jesus, which happened 2,000 years ago, isn't relevant to us here and now today. I think people that are struggling with that, somebody who maybe is open to taking another look at Christianity, I think that person would really enjoy the book. And also just people who do pray the rosary, or people who do know the Lord, but sometimes we just need a shot in the arm. And one of the things I wanted to kind of show through the story was just how close heaven really is. Obviously, you know, a guardian angel appears to Jenna, which is an extraordinary thing, but really, I mean, heaven kind of breaks through with us. As you said so many times, Father Tom, heaven can just break through in an instant, and heaven is so much closer than we think. And I think hopefully throughout the book, the reader has that sense and can feel that sense.
If I wanted to get this book, where would I go?
It's only available on Amazon.com. I published it independently because I wanted to keep a lot of the creative license and didn't want to change certain things that were being suggested that I changed. So it's available on Amazon.com only, and it's $9.99 for the hardcover, or you can download the ebook version for $2.99.
How many copies have been sold?
So about 1,125 copies have been sold so far. I published it last October, and it's been holding pretty consistently. Obviously, around Christmas time, because the story centers around Christmas, it tends to sales go up, but in the summer they kind of decrease, which is kind of normal. It's been fairly consistent since October.
Agnes's gift.
Agnes's gift.
The gift of the rosary.
Absolutely, and it all kind of started here too, at Holy Rosary, which is a story. I don't think I've told you exactly yet the story, Father Tom, but when I was, I used to live in Winthrop, this used to be my parish, and so I would come here frequently for adoration and Mass, and after, when I first started at Emerson about 14 years ago, there were just a lot of challenges in getting things up and just a lot of discouragement, and so I would always come back after after our Newman Club meetings, just come to adoration. The church was always open, and just sit here and just sort of say, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? Like, how do we reach your young people on this campus? And through, you know, I did that every week. And one of those times I was just kind of sitting with my journal, and I just started journaling, and just the initial ideas for the story started to come through, because my biggest challenge and frustration was just that people weren't seeing the gospel as relevant, and of course it's the most relevant thing in the world. So I was like, there's got to be a way, like, how can I help to try to communicate this to the students I work with? And so I started, just the story came up, the story started to kind of come up in my mind a little bit, and I started to journal, and I journaled through some of the scenes, and I kind of took that notebook and sort of put it away for a little while, and then I think I pulled it out and wrote a chapter, and then things got busy in campus ministry, and I just didn't get back to it. And then when I ended up really finishing it was when Pope Benedict retired, and it was actually a few days before Ash Wednesday that Pope Benedict retired, almost 10 years ago, a long time ago. And he, so he retired, and there was this thing going around Facebook. It was kind of a joke, but it kind of made you think at the same time, and it said, Pope Benedict gave up the papacy for Lent. What are you giving up? So I said, that's a really good question. I want to do something meaningful. So for that Lent, I just decided to give pretty much everything up except work, to not really do much of anything else, and just dedicate myself to at least getting a first draft of the book done. So that's when I got the first draft done, and then it finally was finished about a year ago.
Tell us a little bit about Agnes.
Sure. Agnes is just a woman. She's an elderly woman. She's in her 90s, so she's lived through World War II, and she just has that sort of something from that generation. I think just that that deep, abiding sense of faith, and it's something that, you know, over the course of her 90 years, her faith in the Lord has just got more and more and more rock solid, and she had her share of challenges in life as well, and so she ends up, her husband passed away when she had four young children, so she raised her children as a single mom, and she just has this sense of just knowing the Lord in a really personal way, and it's something that strikes Jenna throughout her entire relationship with Agnes. She just has the sense that there's just something deeper, there's something like under the surface that she just can't access, she's just never encountered before. And so throughout the story of the of Agnes's gift, as the guardian angel is taking Jenna through her the mysteries, she's beginning to understand a little bit more and more as she encounters the Lord what this light in Agnes's eyes was all about, what this sort of just this deep sense of peace that Agnes had, really where it really came from.
When it comes to Christianity, I think we should get people jealous. Mm-hmm. That we want people to say, I want what you have. I want what you have. And that sounds like Jenna saying to Agnes, in her own way, I want what you have.
Absolutely. And I think that's exactly it. I think, you know, it's not so much through teaching or, you know, it's just through encountering the Holy Spirit and that we just come to conversion. That's actually how it happened for me. There was a long time where I didn't believe in God when I was in high school, and growing up sort of in high school just came to the conclusion that I just didn't believe in God, and I just thought God was for people who are weak and who can't really, don't have answers to the tough questions in life, so they just take an easy way out and they say, oh, God must have made it that way, and that's just how it is. And then I had, you know, wrestled with different questions about, you know, where is God in the midst of my suffering, and just certain teachings in the church that I just wrestled with. And at some point I just said, and it was about sophomore year in high school, where I just said, I think God is just for the weak. I don't think there's any answer to these questions, and I think we just delude ourselves when we believe in God. And then through, you know, a series of events, I ended up studying abroad my junior year in college. I studied in France, and just had an encounter with the Lord. But a lot of that, some of that was through prayer, but some of that was through, a lot of that was just through the people that I met where the Lord was just alive in their life. And I couldn't explain it. That was just it. Like, there was no explanation for it, for the peace that they had and for the joy that they had. And they really took me under their wing, and they invited me on a retreat, which I went on. But I was studying in France, so I went on this retreat because I wanted to experience, like, southern France. I was living in Aix-en-Provence, and this retreat was an island off the coast of Cannes. And I said, and they even said to me, just come. If nothing else, you'll experience a beautiful island in the Mediterranean. You'll see a monastery, some gardens, a castle. You get nothing to lose. So I went, and the Lord just touched me in a powerful way on that retreat. He just broke through, and he just touched me in a way that I knew wasn't my imagination, and just couldn't have been. And my mind just opened up, and it set me on a journey that brought me ultimately, you know, I explored different faiths more or less, but I knew Jesus was touching me, so I explored different denominations, but ultimately came back to my Catholic faith. But yeah, if it weren't for that community that I encountered in France, if it weren't for those young adults that just loved the Lord, I don't think I would have been open to that experience. The Lord used that in a powerful way.
Well, St. Paul says the way he's going to get Jewish people to become believers is to make them jealous of what he has. Mm-hmm. You know, we have so much. We have Jesus, but does Jesus have us?
Right.
You see, it's so important that Jesus would have us. And it's so important that we have an experience of Jesus, that we encounter Jesus. It's so important. It happened to you on a retreat, and it happened to me on a retreat. Yes, I don't know where I'd be today if the last Sunday in August in 1968, if the Holy Spirit didn't come to me. I have no idea what I'd be today. I certainly wouldn't be a priest, and I wouldn't be a preacher.
Wow.
But it was that experience of the Holy Spirit who brought me to love Jesus, who brought me to make Jesus my contemporary. Like, Jesus isn't far away from me. Jesus is with me, in me, for me. Jesus is in you, with you, for you.
Absolutely. And I think like the scriptures say, where sin abounds, grace abounds. And I think the Lord wants to do that for so many people. And it's just, I often wonder what led to that moment where I just had that experience at that time and at that age, and who is praying for me. And, you know, sometimes when I'm discouraged about people I love or people I know who seem to be far from the Lord, I just think about where I was, even just a week before or 2 weeks before that retreat experience, and how the Lord can just break in at any time. And it just gives me the you know, encouragement to go on and to just keep praying, because who knows who prayed for me at that time. And if the Lord did that for us, you know, he wants to do it for so many other people. And he will. He absolutely will. And it's happening.
So tell us how you get the book, Agnes's Gift.
Agnes's Gift. Just go to Amazon.com, and you can just type in the search Agnes's Gift, and it will come right up in the search bar. And then it'll just be mailed right to you. So it's pretty simple. But just Amazon.com, and you can either download the Kindle version, or you can just have a paperback copy sent.
Well, why don't we do a decade of the rosary? Which decade would you choose?
How about the Nativity of the Lord?
The Nativity of the Lord. Why don't you lead us?
Okay. So the third joyful mystery is the Nativity of the Lord. And Lord, through this mystery, we just thank you that you came down from heaven, that you came down to be with us. We just entrust to you everybody that we know and that we love that are far from you, and pray that you would be born in their lives at this very moment, even as we pray. We just pray that you would be born in their lives, and that you would touch them in ways that only you know how to do. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. You people finish it, and we say, God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.